You're listening to the ESO Network, your station for all things geek.
Hi, I'm Joe Heath.
I'm Tony Heath.
And this is the Watchathon of Rassilon.
Ew.
It's just the two of us today.
Good Lord.
Today, we're going to be talking about the second serial of the 15th season of Doctor Who, The Invisible Enemy, which consists of four episodes that aired from October 1st, 1977 to October 22nd, 1977, which is my mom's birthday.
Happy birthday.
I don't know if it was like the date of her. I mean, October 22nd is her birthday. I don't know if 1977. I don't know how old she is.
You don't know how old your mother is?
She's 49. She's like a year younger than my dad. My dad just turned 50.
All right.
And I got the hiccups now.
True facts.
And I want to give a...
Ew.
I'm flimming now too. Let me get through this, goddammit.
I'm fine.
And I want to give a special shout out to Matt Golden for sponsoring this episode.
Hey, thanks, Matt.
You can follow him on Tumblr at mgoldentumbles.tumblr.com. Maybe. Tumblr.
Yeah. Listen.
Yeah?
I tell you that Matt told me today that he spent $45 to listen to our podcast.
Yeah, you did tell me that. Which, that sounds like Matt spent $45 on our podcast. But we did not see a single cent of that $45, to be fair.
No, he was listening to it on data, and he just kept being like, add an extra gig, and he was out of data, and he kept being like, sure, because he was listening to the podcast.
Are you saying,
hey, Matt,
give us $45?
why don't you just go ahead and support our Patreon?
What? Okay, like, how was he listening to it?
On his phone.
Why didn't he download?
He was moving. So I guess he didn't have... They had Wi-Fi on at the new place, probably not at the old place.
Why didn't he download it?
Look, I'm not here to question Matt's choices.
I am. That's what this podcast segment is. Questioning Matt's life choices. Hey, Matt, you can download him, buddy.
I don't know. I don't know how far back he is, like, in listening to them, and how far into the future he's gonna get to this episode. But, like, just one day, like, half a year from now, he's gonna run into your office and be like, "What the fuck?"
Well, I'm just saying, you can just click the download button, put it on your phone.
But you don't know what scenario was going on. Maybe he didn't have access to Wi-Fi at the time.
Well, maybe we'll get an update from Matt and then keep you guys informed of what.
What I'm saying is, you didn't have to drag him publicly on the podcast. You could have just talked to him.
But okay, so let's end that segment, dragging Matt on our podcast. Let's talk about New Who.
Okay.
Because
I've got really strong opinions.
Because the last time we talked about it, I believe we talked about Demons of the Punjab, which was great, mm-hmm. and Kerblam, which was surface level good, and then when you think about it, bad.
Yeah, it falls apart if you, like, apply any critical thinking to it.
Yes. But the last two episodes we had, which we have not talked about, are The Witchfinders.
It was fun.
I liked that a lot. I thought Alan Cumming was amazing.
Absolutely.
I don't really have a whole lot to say about it, except that I really liked it. Like, yeah, it was fun. It was good.
It was a solid but fairly nondescript episode.
One of those really good scenes where it's like the Doctor talking to the bad guy being King James, kind of a bad guy. But like, it's like one of those nice little discussions about the Doctor as a character that I always kind of enjoy. So I like that a lot. But yeah, that episode, fine, good, fun, A+. Well, not A+, probably like an A.
A-minus.
Hey, A-minus. But the one after it, It Takes You Away. Top tier fucking episode.
Absolutely. One of the best episodes we've had in a long fucking time. And you know why? It's because of the shitty frog puppet. Fight me. I don't care.
Hey.
Absolutely fucking fight me.
It's more than just the frog puppet for me. It's like all around just good. It's that weird. It's weird. It's weird. And that's what I like. I mean, you got Mirror Universe, you got a guy who leads you around in a middle dimension with a fucking fantasy balloon.
Where, like, we watched it and you were talking about it in the chat with everybody, and I was, like, going through the tag and I saw Ribbons and I was like, I fucking forgot that that crazy-ass shit was even in that episode because there was so much weird-ass shit in it.
That's my favorite type of Doctor Who. Speaking of, we're about to get into that. That same sort of feeling of, like, oh, right. I completely forgot that that weird shit happened in this serial.
I saw a lot of people who are like, this is a very Douglas Adams-y episode. And I was like, that makes sense to me. Well, I assume they're referring to the era of the show, which we have not seen. Not like specifically Hitchhiker's Guide or anything like that.
Right. They had the Doctor breaking up with a frog. A frog universe.
What is it called? The Solid Tract?
Yeah.
I love it so much. I want to be its friend. I want to be its girlfriend. Let's be honest. I love it. I love the idea of it. I love its dumb little frog avatar. It's good.
Was that an actual blind actress in it, by the way?
I mean, I don't know. I saw a couple people saying that they're glad they hired an actual blind actress, but that was like a post I saw in the notes. I don't.
You know what I haven't seen anyone saying about it, which that I really enjoyed? Because anytime they're in the mirror universe, the shots are flipped.
Yeah. I don't know if I would have noticed that if I wasn't pointing it out. Well, that and the shirt.
That honestly wasn't what tipped me off. It was like, something about them seemed odd. Like, they seemed to be leaning like
the wrong way.
The wrong way, yeah. And then, like, it's also like their hair parts are different. So it was like, I was like, something feels off. And then I saw the shirt and I was like, oh, it's flipped.
I thought that was a really clever touch.
I wonder if they had planned on that the entire time, or they just were like, well, you know, it'd be fun.
Like in editing.
Yeah. Guys, this is the best episode. I'm also like, I'm a little like, oh no. The next episode's going to be the finale. We'll still have the New Year special after that, but Chibnall will be back. And I'm a little like, oh, but.
We just had such a really good, fun
run.
I kept wanting to say serial. When we're on the podcast, I want to say serial.
But talking of just weird-ass Doctor Who, let's, you want to talk about the invisible enemy?
Let's do it.
Let's dive in to the invisible enemy. Episode 1, which I've called The Last Supper of Titan. Do you know what it's in reference to?
I was going
to
say, is it a reference, or?
It's like literally a line said in the episode.
Is it?
I think he says the Last Supper on Titan, but instead of Titan, but...
Oh, yeah.
Anyway, my notes say space, spaceship, ship problems, weird space thing.
Okay, here's the thing. I remember looking at you when you were typing these notes and saying, Joe, why are no spaceship? Those are not going to help you later. And you were like, it's fine. I know what they mean.
I do know what they mean.
What do they mean?
They mean we got some cool-ass models.
Oh, man, they're really good models.
There's, like rocks dangling in space.
I enjoy looking at them.
Through space.
Looking at them makes my eyeballs pleased.
I don't remember what the ship problems were, but, I mean, they get sort of, the ship gets attacked by something, and it's the coolest effect.
Is it, like, ink and water? Is that...
I don't know. Could be. It is very like fluidy, and it's like it's like a little hole opens up in space, and it's like just swirling and around the ship, and little lightning blasts hit it as well, like little hand drawn lightning bolts. The ship says contact has been made. The ship itself says that, and the people on the ship are like, "What does that mean? There's nothing here." Because they don't see anything. They're just like, the ship's acting weird. And there's like three guys on that ship. They probably have names, but I don't give a shit.
Fair enough. Hang on.
We don't.
I'm just going to pull up the...
Well, it doesn't matter. They don't really stick around.
I'm still going to pull up the wiki.
Why?
Because I don't have notes.
You have my notes.
Your notes are garbage. What are we talking about?
The invisible enemy. Because it's invisible. And... That's why the ship can't see. The people on the ship can't see it because it's the invisible enemy.
Dun, 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 dun.
You're just clicking words. You have to actually... Probably should have went to the TARDIS wiki.
Oh my god, well, it wasn't the first result, and that was what I clicked on first.
So we cut to the TARDIS. Some old things have come back. First off, Leela's back in her Savage outfit, though she has a hat now.
It's a nice addition.
They've moved into the old TARDIS set. I think I read somewhere that the cool TARDIS that we had last season got destroyed.
Oh, really? Like on accident?
Yeah, like in storage. That like water damage and
stuff.
That is
a bummer. That's one of my favorite sets.
And the Doctor apparently doesn't even like it either. He's like, it's a bad color. Leela says, white's not a color, because it's the old white.
Yes.
And she's like, white's not a color. And he's like, that's the problem with computers. They only see in black and white. There's no grays or aquamarines, or he just names some colors. And he's like, just trash-talking the TARDIS. And the TARDIS just stops. It just turns off.
The TARDIS is like, well, F you then.
This is the episode where we just have bodily functions.
Gross. So yeah, you didn't name any of the crew members, but it's because they kind of get infected, like...
Yeah, I was going to say that.
Right at the top.
They're not infected yet.
Do you want me to specifically wait until it happens and tell every detail in between that and the plot?
Yeah, because we don't know that they're infected yet. Because we get another great set where they land on Titan. It lands on the planet and it goes shoop. And there's like little spinning satellite dishes. They land. And there's like this. It's got like one of those like spinny table things with the ships on it, and it spins. There's like a lot of neat little miniatures in this segment. And there's a neat little hallway. There's a lot of cool little miniatures, and I dig it. I thought you'd dig it too, because they're miniatures.
Yeah, I think they look great.
So they land, they head out, and they grab these. There's like three guns on the wall, and there's three of them, so they each grab a gun. And they're wearing these helmets. And it's also at this point that we see, like, they're on the base and they see, there's, like, signs everywhere that are written, there was a name for it. I think it was, like, Ringlish or something like that. It's, like, it's supposed to be, like, future English. So it's all just, like, emergency exit, but it's, like, IMURGINSEEEGGSIT, stuff like that. So it's, like, spelled phonetically instead of the actual words. Though it's kind of confusing because some of them are just the regular words, because it's just like mess, like the mess hall.
Well, how else would you have spelled it?
I don't know, but like...
It's already spelled phonetically. What do you want?
I know, but like, they made exit more, like they made it E-G-S-I-T instead of E-X-I-T, and that seems like to be expanding it. Like, I don't know. Like, you could do something with mess, just M-E-S.
I suppose.
M-E-Z-Z. I don't know.
That's a different word.
Mez. Anyway, they're walking by it and they hear laughter, which I thought was ominous. I was like, oh no, they're walking into something. But really, the people laughing are fine. They're like, they walk into the mess hall and there are these people eating.
They're
food.
About to be relieved, basically. It's the crew is they're switching swapping. Out. And so they're celebrating because it's their last day.
They literally say it's our last supper on Titan, not realizing how ironic those words were soon to be. Because they just get straight up shot by the three guys that just came on board. And they pull off their helmets, or they lift up their little visors, and now they got glitter brows.
They're really long.
And they're like scaly underneath the eyes. It doesn't look like they're wearing masks, though. It looks like they've had masks smushed to their face.
No, I think each of the little scales are put on there individually.
Yeah. And then they
have... The way that the makeup is done.
And they have little eyebrow... Tufts.
Yeah.
They're like white and like pale green, I'd say.
Maybe.
Oh, and there's like a really nice shot where he's like talking to them with the visor down again. The main guy's talking to the other two, the brows guys. And you can see the reflection of the other two in his helmet as he's talking to them. I thought that was a really nice shot.
There's murder everybody but one guy.
He's not in the room. That's why they don't murder him. But they're like, there's another guy here. We got to find him. Like, they're all sort of high-minded.
Low, is that his name?
Yes, Low. I want to say there's a lot of interesting shots in this. There's a lot of, like, good framing and stuff, but badly paced in some places. Like, things move a little too slowly here and there. It's like he set up a nice shot and then, like filmed
the shot
it.
Lasts too long.
Yeah, or that's, like, kind of clunky. There are literally a couple scenes where it's, like, just the actors moving into a certain spot and then saying their lines. In some instances, there's scenes where it's just a little clunky and weird.
Lo's the only person who hasn't gotten dead, so he sends out a distress call. That is what the doctor and Leela pick up.
We cut to the TARDIS, and Leela is practicing writing her name on a chalkboard. She misspells her name a couple times.
Does she?
It says, like, Lula at the top.
I didn't notice.
Then they get the distress call. There's, like, a lot of, like, little small things that I like in this. The next thing is Leela chewing on the doctor's scarf.
The doctor's standing up at the console, and she's, like, crouched down on the ground, and she's, like, clutching it, like a comfort item or something.
Like, the doctor doesn't even, like, notice, like, right away. He's just like, boop-a-doop, and he's like, looks back and, like, sees that she's chewing on it, and then he's like, what's up? She's like, something feels wrong, which I heard was not really a thing, but it's been in, like, 3 or 4 episodes, her sensing danger.
Instinct. And it's actually a really important plot point, this serial, specifically, that she's all instinct.
Well.
Kind of.
They say that, and then another character says it, like he just thought of it, and then it turns out not to be that. It was very confusing. This episode's a little sloppy in places. The distress call gets stopped, and they send out another thing that was like, hey, that Mayday, just a joke, not real. How are you doing?
Because we're doing fine.
Boring conversation anyway. But Leela says, that's it. That's what I'm freaking out about. That's not a human. But, like, they've met aliens a bunch of times. But
she does specifically say, it's evil.
Actually, wait, has Leela met any aliens?
Hasn't she?
Talons of Wang Chiang? No. Humans. Horror Fang Rock?
The big blob thing.
Yeah, but she knew that was an alien too. But, like, there hasn't been a situation where they went somewhere that's, like, aliens, I don't think.
She's definitely met aliens, though.
Yeah, but they've all been bad.
Yeah, I guess.
She hasn't met any good aliens yet. That's a bummer. But then the TARDIS winds up in that swirly ink vortex of doom. A thing shoots out of the TARDIS console and the doctor glows blue and, like, fades away. And Leela's like, what happened to you? And he's like, what? I didn't see anything. She's like, you glowed blue. And he says that it's like St. Elmo's fire. She's like, St. Elmo's fire? And he's like, yeah, what, are you just some kind of parrot? And she goes, parrot? And then he just keeps talking and he says something about, like, move over. And then she goes, move over.
Looking at the picture of her spelling her name, and I think the first one is actually supposed to be the doctor, and she's copying it. But they're both spelt right.
Oh, that is double E's. It looks like Lula.
Nope, it's two E's. Yeah.
His loops and his E's are very, very...
Right, but that's the doctor. The doctor has spelled it for her, and she's copying it.
Hers looks a lot better, I think. I can actually read it. That looks like Lula. The two E's look like a U. Am I wrong?
No, but that's not... Like, you can tell.
Her loops are way better. Look at that L. Look at the loops in that L. Her A's a little chunky. Like, the doctor's A is a lot better. But until you get the A, hers looks fine. Better even, I'd say. Take that, doctor. Your handwriting is shit. But the doctor has been zappity-zapped. And I think he says contact has been made. I don't remember. But he collapses. The eyebrow people on the ship say that there's a host now.
For the nucleus.
And then we come back to the ship, the TARDIS, and Leela gets zapped. But nothing happens to Leela.
She's been rejected.
And must be destroyed. And they land in the, on Titan. But the doctor wakes up off the floor and says something like, I'm feeling fine, Lally. And she's like, what? He's like, I said I feel fine, Lally. Perfectly fine. Like, he just keeps, like, flipping his, like, the chunks of the words, getting them all mixed up. And his speech is all messed up. And he thinks he's had a shot of a Bic. Which, that doesn't happen to anyone else.
No, but he's got, you know, a weird Time Lord brain.
He sure does. We'll find out more about it later.
It's real gross in there.
Then he's like, it's fine. Anyway, let's go take this distress
call. Do you know what
call.
I think it is?
What?
I think that, like, that is the Doctor's weird allergic reaction. Because it's also shown that, like, other Time Lords do not have the reaction that he has to, like, regeneration. That he's, like, one of the only ones who gets regeneration sickness and gets all confused and stuff. So he's just, like, that's, like, a weird allergic reaction he in particular has. If anything messes up with his brain, he gets all confused.
I like it. That even continues past speech. He walks into the TARDIS door. He goes, huh, that's odd. And then Layla's, like, takes this opportunity, since he has failed to exit the door, to be like, don't go out there. Things will be bad. She's right to say this because the TARDIS is surrounded by the eyebrow people. But Lo shows up and starts shooting at them and then runs off and hides in a cryogenic chamber for some reason.
Yeah, not the best hiding place.
Because they go over to it and go, oh, turn that shit on. Problem taken care of. We've got some frozen Lo. He does manage to kill one of the eyebrow people. This is another thing where, like, the framing looks good, but it's like, it's a little sloppy. The Doctor comes out and is like, there's nobody here. Even though there's very clearly in shot the entire time, it's framed to be in shot, a dead body on the floor? One of the dead eyebrows?
Well, that's not, it's just one body.
It's immediately to the left of the TARDIS. If the Doctor looked down even slightly, he would have seen it. But Leela sees it. They're like, see, shit's bad. She's like, I'm gonna go figure out what's going on. And the Doctor's like, shh, no, you stay here. I'll go figure it out. And then he turns around for a second, and she basically just runs off. And he's like, so anyway, what we're doing... Oh, God damn it! Every time!
She goes and she finds Lo.
Yeah, she gets him out of the cryogenic chamber.
Just in time.
Frosty. Well, not just in time. He's just in time. He wouldn't be frosty at all. But he, like, collapses down. He's got white ice dust.
Yes. White ice... Fuck!
White what?
Ice dust.
Yeah. That's what I said. All over his face, and he's chilly, and she also, like, will wrap him up in a little blanket, and she nurses him a bit back to health. Meanwhile, though, the Doctor finds the two that are still alive, and they're, like, looking at a map or whatever, and he just sort of walks up behind them and is like, hello? And they're like, we'll deal with you in a second. And he's like, I'm the Doc... Wait, what? Like, they're not surprised at all that he's there, because they know.
They've been waiting for him.
This is the scene that's also, like, another...
Their names, by the way, are Saffron and Meeker, and the way that you know that is they're written in that sort of English across their...
Across their waist?
Yeah.
I only remember seeing Lowe's when I was doing the GIFs. I did not pay attention to anybody else. Lo is the only one that's, like, a character that matters, really. This is another shot where it's, like, weirdly... They'll just, like... walk into framing and not talk while they're moving, stop, and then continue a conversation. And it happens a lot, specifically in this scene. And, like, the shots look nice, but it's also, like, awkward. And I don't know if it's awkward on purpose, because it's definitely supposed to be a little uncomfortable. But there's just scenes where, like, the Doctor is talking to these people, and then he'll walk away from them, stop, look up, and then, like, they're, like, in the background and he's in the foreground, you know? Like, soap opera style. And then they'll continue the conversation. And it was very weird. They get the Doctor and they look at him and electricity beams shoot out of their eyeballs into his eyeballs. And they mind wiggle him, much like the cyber people did in, what one was that, Tomb of the Cybermen?
Sure, if you say so.
That's what I remember when they mind wiggle.
Once I watch them, I don't remember, like, their names or what happened in them. All that information's gone.
But it's a similar visual effect of, like, shit shoots out of their eyes into their eyes, and then they're brain controlled.
Sure.
Mind controlled. There's a difference between brain and mind, apparently. That gets brought up later. I still don't entirely know what that means.
Yeah, they talk about the brain-mind. Was it interface or the brain-mind...
Yeah, it was the brain-mind. That's hard to say. The brain-mind. You want to say brain-mind. Yeah, brain-mind interface.
I think the mind is kind of the more, like, metaphorical. It's the more conceptual of the two.
So, like, the brain's the physical thing, the mind's the mental thing?
Yeah.
All right.
And I think even in the episode, the Doctor says the mind is more of the, like, imagination and shit.
The brain's logic. I think he said that was, like, the thing, difference between logic and imagination. doesn't honestly make a lot of sense.
Not super, no.
But yeah, they brain control him, and the doctor is evil now. This is like the sixth time Tom Baker's played an evil doctor. But they say that he needs to destroy the reject, and they need him to breed his nucleus. Breed from his nucleus. I don't know. There's some.
He says,
I need to breed from my nucleus or something. I don't know. It's real gross sounding. But basically,
he's got a nucleus.
The nucleus of the virus.
Because he's the most intelligent. That's why they picked him.
So they give the doctor a gun. They go to find Leela. Okay, so I know that this is the period during the show when things get brighter and happier and...
Well, brighter, just physically brighter. I can see more things.
So I was a little surprised when this episode kind of starts with, like, horror aspects to it. Like, the doctor is evil and, like, it's well lit. Like, he's in the shadow. Like, half in the shadows and, like, calling out to Leela, like, Leela, where are you? We got stuff to do. But he's clearly evil and going to kill her. Like, it's pretty creepy. Like, it still feels like we're still slightly... We got, like, 1 foot in the horror era still. We're mostly into the light, but, like, our toes are still wet.
Well, I feel like you mixed things at the end there.
Our toes are still wet in the horror muck.
From the darkness.
Wet from the darkness. Yeah. Dark wet. You can get some interesting stuff on the dark wet.
No.
No?
God, no.
Why are you so against me today? Leela hears him and is like, oh, that's the doctor. And Lo's like, don't trust him. Like, those people that, like, took over the ship were people I know. And they used to be good guys. And now they got funny brows. That's a visual only thing. That's a great, great joke for this audio podcast. Tony is waving her hand against her eyebrows like they's wiggly.
That's what they look like. That's just for you, podcast listener.
The doctor is trying to convince her, but then, like, tries to stop it. He's like, I can't do it. And then, like, one of the eyebrow guys is like, but you gotta do it. You gotta do it. And, like, it's just reinforcing it so that he doesn't, like, break programming or whatever, but he's fighting.
Yeah, he's really struggling with it. And the way that he's, like, fighting it, he's kind of just like, I can't do that. I can't. And the guy's like, you gotta. And he's like, right, but I can't?
And it's so creepy, too, because, like, Lo stands up or is, like, hiding behind a plant or something and jiggles it and makes a noise. And, like, that's, like, in the middle of the doctor fighting it. And then they both stop and turn towards the sound. And, like, the doctor's just, like that distraction. He lost control. He's like, the reject is over here. And then they just start, like, slowly walking through this, like, dimly lit hallway. And it's so creepy. Ugh. But one of the eyebrow guys gets into the room that Lo and Leela are in. And he shoots Lo's gun out of his hand. But he gets a knife in the back from Leela, which he falls down and you see the knife in his back and you see Leela grab the knife and just pull it right back out of his back. Again, we still got those toes.
In the dark wet.
In the dark wet. Just twinkling around. Just a little bit. She pulls a knife out of a dude. She sort of goes off to try and find the doctor, but, like, Lo is a fucking idiot. Because he said something, they said something to him about there's a purpose. Earlier, over, like, the monitor or something. But he leans right down in front of the guy that just got knifed in the back. And he's like, what is your purpose? And then gets mind-wiggled. Then Leela's out in the hallway. And the doctor, she's, like, looking one way. And he's behind her and pulls a gun on her. Watching it again, I made a gif of it. It's very clear that he, like, swings around and then adjusts himself so that the camera can get up closer to his arm. You see his, like, arm just go, so that the gun's right in front of the camera.
I do want to talk about the guns because I think it's a vase, like a plastic dollar store vase and a flashlight. Like, it's either that or, like, a weird Coke bottle. But I liked them.
And they're, like, spray painted black.
Yeah.
The doctor's got this spray-painted black gun, and his hand is covered in white fur-looking stuff. He's all frilly. And that's the cliffhanger. That's as he's pulled a gun on Leela. That's the end of episode one. We are now into episode two, which I've called Protect the Nucleus. Then we get the most boring shot I've ever seen. We get that recap, and then it cuts to a close-up of the doctor, like, side profile. Looking at Leela. He does not move. He does not emote. like, you hear the voice of the Nucleus, basically, being like, killer, killer. And he's like, I can't, I can't. And this shot goes on for, like, 20 seconds of just the dot. It's visually stunning. It's just him, his profile, for way too long.
Basically, he's able to fight it off enough to warn Leela.
She ducks as he shoots. He manages to control it a bit. He puts his hand down on the ground, and it like, anti-werewolves. Like, the hair on it fades away, and it's just a normal hand. And he says, like, I am affected by this. I don't know why you're not. Why are you not affected by it? And he's, like, just basically trying to tell her what's up. And then, like, he's like, I can't deal with this. And then, like, just goes to sleep. He goes into a meditative state.
He puts himself into a coma, basically.
Yeah.
This is, I think what's interesting about this episode is that, like, after that, they just take him to the space hospital. Mm-hmm. I'm like, how often does that ever actually happen?
New Earth, right?
New Earth. I mean, and, shoot, what was the one this season?
They went to a hospital this season?
They sure did.
They did?
Yeah, so that they could do MPreg. Do you not remember?
Oh, yeah. What was the name of that one? Oh, it's got a weird name. It's
The
conundrum.
Yeah, some nonsense.
Pating!
But, like, you have an actual, like, medical doctor who's, like, treating the doctor, who's, yep, who's treating the doctor and is like, this is really interesting. So, I see he put himself into, like, this self-induced coma, that's cool. I see he has two hearts, that's cool. But, like, there's this monster and it is an actual viral infection, and the doctor is... Not the doctor. The medical... What is that character's name so that this can stop happening?
Marius.
The medical doctor's name is Marius. Like, is somebody who's trying to work and figure it out while the doctor is just under. So we kind of have this other character studying things and figuring things out, which is very interesting to me.
It does happen very quickly that they go there in the TARDIS, too. Yeah. Like, because Leela goes... and finds Lo, who has been talking to the one remaining eyebrow guy, and he's like, oh shit, Leela's coming, I'll pretend to be good, Lo, lay on the floor like you're dead. And, like, he puts on, like, these big red glasses,
visors,
and Leela's like, what's up? And he's like, no, I killed that guy, but I wanted to look cool while doing it, so I put these glasses on.
No, he says he damaged his eyes somehow. He, like...
By being too cool.
Looked directly at some sort of beam of light. And
I think it's like the gun.
Yeah. The flare from the gun or something. And so they're like, well, I'm taking the doctor to the hospital. Like, let's all go.
Yeah. Does that one eyebrow guy get left behind?
Yeah, only the three of them go to the...
Oh. Well, that guy gets back up and he's like, I'm not dead. Ha ha ha. But, like, what happened to him?
I mean, he stays there.
Does he ever come back in the story? Is he just left on Titan?
I mean, they go back to Titan, don't they, in the story?
Maybe they're setting up the, that guy stays behind to set up the thing that happens in the last episode.
Yes.
Okay. Oh, and the hospital, by the way, is on this, like, giant meteor.
I think it's just because, like, they were getting really good at models. They're like, let's throw some more cool-ass models into this. Let's have them go to a second location.
And then we get a neat little callback because they put the doctor in this, like, shoot thing. It's real weird. It's like
the Bial Foundation, by the way.
The what?
The Bial or Bial? It's one L. Bial Foundation.
The Bial Foundation. But, like, Leela has to TARDIS pilot the TARDIS there.
Oh, yeah, I guess she does.
I think the doctor gives her some coordinates or something. Or he does? I don't know.
Yeah, the doctor gives Leela the coordinates.
I feel like this is the first time that the TARDIS has been used to travel.
in one story?
Inside a serial.
Yeah.
That's, like, on purpose.
And it feels like we've been in an era where it's like, we go somewhere and then we break the TARDIS immediately because we don't want them to just leave.
We're actually using the TARDIS here. And I feel like that feels new. It may have happened once or twice before, but not often.
The doctor gives Leela the coordinates before he puts himself in the coma.
But when they're there, they drop the doctor off in this, like, weird little chute thing that holds bodies that, I guess, takes it to the hospital room. But the receptionist, the secretary, I don't know what they are, is, like, putting in the doctor's information. She's just tapping away. She's wearing this cool, what would you call it, like, latex green outfit?
I did not remember.
Lila wears one later. It's like this green thing. They got like this half visor over their face. But she's like putting in the...
She's rude. That's what I remember about her.
She's like, what's his name? And Lila's like, just the doctor. And she's like, where is he from? She's like, Gallifrey? And she goes, is that in Ireland? She's like, I guess.
That's one of my favorite running jokes on this show.
I didn't catch it the first time through. I was watching it for GIFs and I caught the Ireland gag. That's the second time it's been mentioned, I think, in this show.
So, so far?
So far.
Yes.
Not in total. I know it's been said in New Who.
Yeah.
But then Lo comes up with his glasses. He's got... Oh, we forgot to say he has the eyebrows now, so he's lowbrow.
We forgot to say that, or opted not to?
Listen, it's a good joke, so I want to make sure we say he's got the eyebrows now, so he's lowbrow.
You've said it now. Congrats.
Do you get it? He's lowbrow?
It's a good goof.
Lowbrow shows up, and he's still wearing the glasses, and like the nurse is like, what's up with you? And he's like, my eyes are hurting. She's like, go to the eye district.
He's like, I don't have time to deal with you. Go to the eye place.
Which I want to say, later we see him in the eye district, which
district.
Is...
How do you think hospitals are organized?
By district. The eye area. Which is just a poster of a drawn eye.
Of a sketch. A sketch of an eyeball.
On the wall. And they pan back from it and like... Lo is just doing, like, that, you know, that, like, I'm lying on a bearskin rug pose.
He is.
But before we get to that, the doctor.
I just fucking remembered.
Yeah, right?
In the cereal. I just remembered just now. God damn it.
Before we even see the doctor that doctors the doctor, Marius.
Who, by the way, just to, like, draw this out even more, when he first sees the doctor, he's like, why are you even bringing this guy to me? He's like, he's some space nick. I only deal with like interesting things and you're bringing me this like space hobo. Get him out of here. Rude?
Yeah.
What a rude fucking doctor. I like this character a lot though. Okay, continue.
Well, let's drag it out even more. The guy who plays him was on the show like a few serials back. He was the, Planet of Evil. He was the guy that was, like, his eyes glowed red, and he was slowly turning into a monster. Yeah. And then he, like, almost shot himself into space.
Are you ready?
Before we get to him, we see something that he has created, that he has invented. And it is spitting out a little ticker tape of, like, information about the doctor and what's going on with him. It's a little robot.
It's got a little satellite ears that spin.
Uh-huh.
And as a little tin dog,
Wait, he has a name? I don't remember.
His name is Canine.
Affirmative.
It's fucking Canine.
I didn't know. I didn't either. I'm pretty sure I screamed, Canine!
You screamed, like, so high pitch, frightened me. I didn't know that Canine and Lila were at the same time.
You know, I thought it was Sarah Jane and Canine, because...
Because of the show?
Because of New Who and Sarah Jane Chronicles. No, that's not right. Sarah Jane Adventures. That doesn't happen. I think that happens.
By the way,
in her spinoff,
Canine is Dr. I've already forgotten his name.
Mantizoukas.
No.
Mantizoukas. Sorry.
No. Marius?
Dr. Morbius?
Come on now. Marius. It is Marius.
Yeah.
Canine is Dr. Marius's dog. Like, that's how he's introduced. And the whole time, like, throughout this episode and throughout this serial, I'm like...
That guy's gonna die.
Either that guy's gonna die, or later on, I'm like, the doctor's gonna straight up steal this dog. He's not even gonna ask. He's gonna steal Canine. He's gonna steal that man's dog from him.
To be fair... Canine was only supposed to be in this serial.
Really?
And then they're like, this fucker costs a lot of money. We're gonna get our money's worth out of him.
That's actually funny.
I read something that like he has a little side thing that has like a digital readout on it, and this is the only episode where it actually does anything. I also watched the documentary where they're they get the original one out, and they've got, he's like, he's remote controlled and stuff, but he's loud as hell.
Is he?
You know, they're like, we would not do this today. Like, it would be way too loud. Also, there was talking about, like, they would be watching it on a monitor and doing it, and, like, there was a delay, so they just kind of have to, like, guess where to stop. They have to, like, stop 2 seconds before they wanted to. The first time they used him, he ran right into the camera.
K-9, we should say, is adorable.
Mm-hmm.
I loved him pretty instantly.
He says, affirmative, a lot.
I don't know if he's gonna grate.
I've seen him a decent amount on Sarah Jane Adventures, and he never grated, but...
Is he always just as adorable?
I think so. Because he has all those, like, adorable robot qualities that you like. And
it's true.
He's like...
He's also...
I don't have emotions, but really, but he
he's
does.
Really kind of snarky.
Yeah.
He's very sassy. He talks back, sort of, to Dr. Marinus. I'm trying to think of any, like, a specific quote he says.
Well, there is a bit, which we'll get to later, but, like, something happens. Leela's like, what is going on? And he's like... This is a very complicated...
Yeah, and then technobabbles.
Technobabble. And then she's like, can you explain it simply? And he goes, negative.
He's kind of a little shit. And I love that about him.
So the doctor wakes up. It's like, what's up, doc?
First of all, it's fine. It was fine. Uh-huh. It was okay. Why he gotta laugh so hard?
I'm laughing at your annoyed
reaction.
I
haven't even done anything yet.
You shook your head like, no. You're trying to pass it off like you had no reaction because this is an audio only podcast. But you shook your head like, God damn it. And you're like, I had no reaction whatsoever.
Yeah.
That's in that voice.
What it sound like.
Dead on. I'm an impressionist. So anyway, he wakes up. It's like, what's going on? And then they sort of, like, theorized, like, why Leela is immune, which is that maybe it's because she doesn't think. She just
She's
reacts.
All instinct.
Yeah. Not thinking in a bad way, but in a way of, like, she just goes...
She's a person who relies on her intuition more than, like, critical thinking.
Which I don't think is entirely fair.
She's definitely written that way a lot.
But, yeah, but she's been thinking... things through a lot more lately and talking about the scientific method and all that jazz.
That's true. She has been learning.
Basically, comes alive long enough to be like, here's my theory. Anyway, good night. And passes back out. So yeah, then we get that scene I was talking about where Lo poses like he's on a cover of a calendar and he wiggles his doctor.
Gross!
Well, he does. He brain wiggles his doctor, and like that's basically all he does for a little while. Is he just they're going around the hospital, increasing their wiggles.
By the way, I said that Marius is uninterested in the doctor because he thinks he's some sort of space hobo. Until K-9's like, actually, he's some kind of wacky alien. And then Marius is like, no shit, tell me more. And that's when he gets interested. Terrible doctor, really fun character.
Overacting like hell, by the way.
That's what's so fun about him.
Some ridiculous accent.
I think it's supposed to be German.
That sounds right. Some stereotypical scientist accent. I'm very crazy.
Wow.
Nailed it. I'm an impressionist. So then he leaves for some reason to go check on something. I don't remember. But Leela comes in and K-9's like, get the fuck out. You are not allowed. And then she's like, the doctor is mine. He's like, if you don't get the fuck out of here, I'm going to blow you up. And he starts doing like a countdown and like threatening Leela. And then she's slowly backing away from this like 2-foot menace. And she bumps into Marius and Marius is like, oh, K-9.
Tells him to stand down. Which is like a very strong, for like security for a hospital. I understand. Like, I understand that families are, like, tough, and you gotta get tough with them as, like, nurses to, like, get them out of the room sometimes. But to be like, I will literally fucking shoot your ass
with I'll sick my metal dog on you.
If you don't get out of this room right now. That is harsh.
But yeah, he says, Leela's a friend. And then he's like, I made this robot dog. Isn't that cool?
He made it specifically, by the way, because he can't have like a real dog because like of the asteroid that they're on. He said something about weight limits, which I'm like, that thing's got to be heavy as fuck. So you made a metal dog? But also it just made me think, no dogs on the moon.
No dogs on the meteor either.
If only Magnus could have built a canine.
Guys, I'm fucking listening to the Adventure Zone.
He knows about no dogs on the moon now.
I do. I'm like 3 episodes into Pedals to the Metal.
Yeah. Do you want to take a break so that we can do of the watchathon of...
I'm not going to give an update on where I'm at in the Adventure Zone. I just said 3 episodes in. We don't need to hash this out.
You don't
want to
talk about your thoughts?
Listen, we the problem was we watched the fucking My Brother and Me TV show. And I was like, all right, fine. I'll listen to your goddamn podcast. I tried to listen to it on my own without telling you. So I could just like subtly, sneakily, like sneak references in.
But I wasn't getting it. That pissed you off.
Well, I didn't even listen to a full episode before I told you. I'm real bad at keeping secrets. Do you want to know what you got for Christmas?
No, I want to be surprised.
Okay.
Why? Is it good?
I hope. You are getting playing cards, but that's a given. Where were we at?
You were about to tell us your feelings on the Adventure Zone.
It's real good, okay? It's funny. Jesus. I do really want to get to the next arc, though, because you said that's when it starts getting like storytelling good.
Yeah.
Like, full on, all...
Like, less jokesy-jokesy.
Which, I'm fine with the jokesy-jokesy.
So, you haven't gotten to it yet, but the... Oh, God. The second part of this arc is, like, a weird place where Griffin has started, like, telling a story, and everyone else is still joking around. So, it gets weird, and then it gets really good.
I thought he was gonna kill him in that last one. Anyway, let's move... What were we talking about? Okay, so... So
anyway,
Marius...
that has been an episode of the Watchathon.
Of... What would it be?
I'm really bad at this, because I always blank...
Takon. There's no characters. There's Magnus, there's Taco, there's Merle, Griffin.
The Watchathon of Griffin.
The Watchathon of... wasn't that one character named Johan?
Yeah, the Watchathon of Johan! Anyway, that was an episode of the Watchathon of Johan.
So, Marius, back to the Watchathon of Rassilon. Marius wants to scan Leela to see why she's all immune and stuff. And he's like explaining this to her. And she's just like, what? And he's like, I guess she is stupid. I guess she doesn't think, is what he says.
Just rude.
Leela is scanned. And then a ship crashes into the meteor. Which is this, I think this is the first time that the model work looked a little sloppy. It really looked like they just twirled the ship on a string. And it's like going, wee. And it's like wobbly as hell.
You know, it still looks good though. Like it's a really,
I guess.
It's a really good design. Design-wise is what I'm saying. Execution, but like the design of the asteroid and the ship and all that.
I was like, that looks dumb. And then as I was laughing at it, it crashed into the meteor and exploded. And I was like, oh shit! As I was laughing, they were going to operate on the doctor to figure out what was wrong, but like. This happened, so they're like, we'll deal with the doctor later and go, gotta go check out this crash ship. Which, is it more eyebrow people? What is it?
That is an excellent question. I totally remember because I watched it with you, and I'm not stalling so that I can pull the wiki back up.
I do want to say, while you're looking it up, that when it crashes into the meteor, the doctor falls off the table, and Leela like goes, ugh!
Almost
but
made
she's
a
like,
reference you haven't gotten to yet.
But Leela's like, her face... The face she is making, it's just, like, bored. She looks super bored, even though the entire place just rocks. She's just like, ugh, this again? This happens every serial.
I'm not saying, like, anything about a crash. It's not in here. Oh, because you skipped over this part.
Well, I was about to say.
That happens first.
Well, that's what I was saying. Like, they're wanting to operate on the doctor.
You weren't saying that.
Yeah, but I said the ship crashed into it, but, like, they were going to operate on the doctor. I said that after, but that was, like, that interrupted it.
That's what causes the shuttle to crash.
It's a distraction.
Yeah.
The doctor asks K-9 about cloning.
And here's where shit starts to get real fucking dumb.
Oh, also, I believe there is a line where... Like, because, like, the crew are now, like, mostly mind-wiggled. Like, most of the staff, hospital staff. And, like, there's a gunfight going on. They're shooting at Leela, and Leela's shooting back. And they're, like, kill the reject. And I believe at one point, Leela says, reject yourself.
She goes, reject this! Pew, 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 pew.
K-9 gets involved too and shoots a dude right in the dick. I think it's supposed to be his knee.
It's not. He shoots him right in the dick.
It's at such a weird angle. I watched it again. It looks like maybe he's holding his knee as he goes down.
No.
It's the dick. K-9's a badass.
K-9 is vicious. K-9 does not have time to fuck around.
I didn't know he was, like, so hardcore. I don't think he ever, like, shoots shit in, like, Sarah Jane Adventures. I don't remember him ever shooting shit on Doctor Who.
He never takes a crotch shot in the Sarah Jane Adventures.
No. But, yeah, the doctor's like, hey, can we get cloned? And Marius is like, yeah, but it's like, they only last like 10 minutes. It's
unnecessary. I like that he's like, yeah, it's real experimental bullshit and it only lasts for 10 minutes, but I've got a big ass cloning machine just sitting in the back here like it's a fucking microwave oven. It's really experimental or whatever, and like we're still working on the technology, but yeah, I've got one just chilling in the back here. Hop right in.
He takes a sample from both the doctor and from Leela, because he's going to clone them both, because he wants Leela because she's immune. We don't know what he's planning yet.
They last for 10 minutes. They're basically you.
They also are in a 20-plus minute episode.
That's a good point. But listen, they're basically you clones, so they have all your memories, okay? They have all your, like,
hopes and dreams.
And shit. They're alive.
Fetishes.
And then, in 10 minutes, they're just gonna die. And no one's terrified by this idea. They're just like, yeah, it's cloning. They only last for 10 minutes. It's whatever. No one finds that existentially terrifying. Like, even the clones themselves are like, wow, we only got, like, a couple minutes left. They're getting ready to die. They're a version of themselves that aren't real and also temporary. I find it very upsetting.
If you've ever read Who Censored Roger Rabbit, they're a lot like the doppelgangers.
You know, I've never read that. You've talked to me about it before. But
yeah. Because in the book, not in the movie, the book starts with basically Roger Rabbit dead and his doppelganger, which the cartoons can create a doppelganger of themselves to do the dangerous stunts, and they like fade away after a while. They just die.
They just fucking die.
But Roger Rabbit's murdered, but his doppelganger's still alive, and he's like holding on as long as he can to solve his own murder, which is a lot more hardcore than the movie. Anyway, so that's what they've done. They've cloned themselves, and they leave. The doctor's like, I'm gonna go to the TARDIS, the Doctor Two, and they're like, why? And he's like, trust me. He leaves to go to the TARDIS, and that's when we have that scene. Like, Leela sees him walk by, and she's like, which doctor is that? And K-9's like, Technobabble, Technobabble. And she's like, simplify. And he's like, fuck no. And she's like, wah, wah.
That was just a masterful recap. Thank you.
As a recap of my previous recap, I didn't want to have to repeat that whole thing again. I was recapping my recap from previous.
Lord.
You remember?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. But the doctor gets something out of the TARDIS, walks back by, and Leela's like, that one's Doctor Two, right? And K-9's like, affirmative. She's like, fuck yeah. Got it. I know what's going on.
I've got a handle on all this nonsense.
So the doctor has gotten a component from the TARDIS that makes things shrink. And he's like, I'm going to plug this into your microwave oven clonificator and it'll make a shrink. Put me in my eyeball.
Yeah, he specifically says to the tear duct. And by the way, like, Marius is just like, all right, good plan. He's not like, oh shit, that's pretty rad technology or anything. He's like, yeah, sounds good. This is just a normal fucking Tuesday for me.
I have so many problems with what's, like, happening here. Ugh. Okay, but first I want to say, they get in the machine and they, like, start to shrink down. But, like, Leela, like, peeks in and she's like, is that what I really look like?
K-9 says, like, affirmative.
And she's like,
she's into it.
All right. Like, has she not seen the mirror? But okay, so they shrink down. Marius goes into the thing and, like, just sucks it up with a needle. Like, how does he know where they are? They're microscopic. Were they standing on a little X?
Yeah.
There's, like, no way to know where they'd be. He doesn't even, like, get, like, a magnifying glass out or anything.
He could have just stepped on him.
Yeah. I believe I made that joke when it happened the first time and when it happened in the recap of the next episode. I was like, oh, shit. Okay, that's issue number one.
Okay.
Issue number two, he ejects it into the eyeball, and they're just swirling around in this blue shit. They have no protection?
They're not in, like, a spaceship.
They don't even have space suits.
You're supposed to be in a ship, and you're supposed to drive the ship around. Everybody knows that.
We've seen inner space. You're going into a fucking body. It's not sanitary.
It is real. I hate, like, organic sets, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And so when they get, they go into the doctor's brain and they're just walking around inside of it. And that's real gross.
I don't even know what that blue shit's supposed to be that they're swirling around in.
It's just tears. It's tear ducts.
That's sad. Okay, so that's the end of episode three. That's the end of episode two. The doctor goes inside himself.
Which is the plot
of way too many fanfics. But we are now into episode three, which I have called The Fantastic Forage.
I was going to say, I just thought of, like, a couple episodes back, the story about Tom Baker.
Oh, that was literally last episode.
Was it last episode? Will it have been last episode?
Yes.
What is it?
It's the last one we recorded. It goes up tomorrow.
Oh.
It's Horror Finger Rock.
I thought it was farther back.
Nope. We're getting a little behind.
Yeah, shit. That's a little scary.
Yeah. I'm putting it in.
He said Tom.
Yeah, Tom's putting it in. Tom's putting it in himself. Tom's putting Tom in Tom. Episode 3, The Fantastic...
Actually, Marius is putting Tom in Tom.
But Tom told Marius to put Tom in Tom.
Yeah!
I had to do the Inception noise. I didn't mean to scare you.
I was like looking away. There was like a lull in the conversation. And I was like, great, I'll pull the wiki back up, make sure I know where I am.
Okay, so can we talk about how great my title is?
Yeah, no, let's talk about how great your title is.
Episode 3, The Fantastic Forage.
You're going to have to explain it to me.
All right, first off, The Fantastic Four.
No, I'm there. I'm with you on that.
Because he is the fourth Doctor.
Oh, yeah, okay.
The Fantastic Voyage, which is a movie where people go inside a body.
It's like one layer too many.
Nope. This is The Fantastic Forage.
I was trying to be like, I don't remember any foraging in this episode at all.
It's a play on voyage.
Yeah, but I thought it was forage.
They're foraging for the nucleus.
I mean,
they're foraging in his brain, his own brain.
Pretty big stretch. Would you like to move on now?
I want you to tell me that it's great, and then we can move on.
It's a pretty good goof.
You've been listening to those McElboys too much. Does anybody call them the McElboys?
Yeah.
Cool. They should.
God, apologies to people who listen to our podcast and not them, because this must have been real annoying.
I'll tell you how deep in I am. I sent him a message asking him to do a quote for a book I just wrote.
Obnoxious.
I started it, Dearest McElboys.
All right.
Anyway, whee!
What the fuck?
That's my first note. Whee! They're spinning around, and then, like, the first time it's like a big swirl, and they're going upside down and over and around like they're inside a washing machine. The next shot is literally them holding hands and walking around in circles. Like they're dancing. And then the doctor's like, whoa, I'm dizzy. So yeah, you said the sets are like real gross. They look kind of like the caves in three doctors. But I will say, there's definitely some CSO, but I'm also like not sure what's set and what's...
Yeah, it blends really well. I mean, it blends really well because you don't know what you're looking at.
Yeah.
So you're not like, that background's not real. You're like, everything here is kind of wobbly. It's all
fleshy. Like, there is some fleshy stuff, but I like the, like, white, I don't know what it is. Like, they're walking on, like, this, like, there's, like, these white,
I think they're supposed
like
to be
bones.
Neurons.
Yeah. And they're, like, little, they're, like, walking across them, and it's, like, this big bridge almost. I'm using my hands a lot, which is not good.
They're supposed to be, I think, kind of neural pathways, but it looks like this bridge built out of these sort of white, spindly, I mean, people know what neurons look like.
I didn't.
Oh, really?
No, I've never, like, looked in them.
I'm trying to think of...
Looked in my own head.
I'm trying to think of how you...
They look like TENS TARDIS, but white. We're now image googling neurons. Yeah.
It's like a chunky bit with branches. Like,
yeah. They're like weird spider webs.
Weird spider webs. All right. They're supposed to be neurons. There's a bridge made out of neurons, and they're walking across it. It's a pretty cool set piece.
My favorite thing is, like, when they first get there, and they're in the big red gushy room, and the doctor's like, "Welcome to my mind." There's, like, a big bright flash of something, and then it, like, zooms across the screen, and Leela's like, "What was that?" And he's like, "Oh, just a passing thought." Dumb. And then he's like, "I think it's my leg wants to kick." And then we cut back to reality, and, like, he breaks out of his little, like, he's, like, strapped down to the hospital table, and he kicks out of the strap, and then, like, have to, like, push him down to the table.
But this is where they're looking for the mind-brain interface.
I will say there's also a bit, like, when they're on the neurons, and, like, she kicks it, and he's like, "Hold on now, you're kicking me there." But, like, there are bits where, like, they get... their real-life versions of themselves get hurt, and they feel it, which makes no goddamn sense.
Because they're a clone, they're a completely separate entity. And like, they're like, "Oh, something's happened to me on the outside." And it's like, you're not connected. You're a clone.
I can maybe almost see the doctor, because they're inside the doctor. There's at least somewhat of a connection.
Plus, Leela's telepathic.
And I guess Leela's... I don't know, savage psychic or whatever they call it. But, like, she's, like, way in the other... There's one point she gets hit on the head and she feels it. There's no reason for her to feel that. The way the brain works in this is a little bizarre. There's also, like, a big floating white fuzz ball in his head that's stalking them.
I think that's supposed to be antibodies, right?
Yeah, that's what
it is. Which drove me a little crazy, because I was like, why aren't the antibodies... Because they spend a lot of time attacking the doctor and Leela, and spend no time attacking the nucleus, like, at all.
He hid really well.
His antibodies suck.
Meanwhile, there's, like, fighting going on outside. K-9 shoots a wall down. Leela's like, "There should be a barrier right here." And he just goes, "Okay," and blasts a huge chunk of the wall down, which you can see...
before it falls?
Yes, you can see the cracks in the wall. And, like, I was watching the documentary, and they're like, "The first take looked great."
Oh, no.
And we had to reset it. Like, you couldn't tell that it was, like, pre-cut. And, like, then we had to quickly, like, patch it back up, and it was like, it didn't look good, but we didn't have time, so you can definitely see...
How come they didn't use the first take, though?
I think there was, like, some other goof that happened in it.
TV's like that sometimes.
And then she's like, "Thank you, K-9. And he's like, "I require no gratitude. I'm just a stupid robot."
Oh, K-9, don't talk about yourself like that.
And then a shootout happens. And then we go back to Marius. And Marius is like, they're like studying it. And like, "We can't find anything different between Leela and the doctor. I wonder, maybe it's because she works on instinct."
That's already been posited. That is not new information. And it's like something, it's not like something that the doctor said to someone else. It's something the doctor said to him.
Yeah, specifically to him, to Marius. And now Marius is like, maybe it's this thing that I was told about last episode.
Because they're looking for something physical and they haven't been able to find it.
Then the doctor brags about his brain a bit. Like, he's a... kind of fucking annoying.
Like, "This is the best brain. Welcome to it. It's an honor for you to be in here right now."
And he's even like, "Are you listening to me? I'm telling you how awesome I am right now.
I'm talking to you about how great my brain is.
Listen up, goddammit. There's gonna be a quiz." But then that's when Leela gets attacked by the fuzzballs, and the doctor runs around and, like, fiddles with, like, these, like, dangling goo bits. Like, dangling threads.
He connects to... I don't know if those are supposed to be neurons or something else.
I don't know.
He connects them.
He makes his body think that, like, his kidney is failing or something like that. And the fuzzballs go away. Back at the gunfight, a dude jumps over the barrier and K-9 shoots him. But then the eyebrow guy wiggles K-9. And he goes around a corner and tries to shoot.
By the way, hearing K-9 say, what is it that they say?
"Contact is made."
Your K-9 is Dalek-y. Very Dalek-y. Yeah, hearing K-9 say, "Contact is made," I was like, no. Not K-9. Not my robot boy.
So he goes around and shoots at Leela, and she, like, passes out. And then he runs into the wall. And, like, he's like, "I am shutting down." And that's when, like, she's like, the Leela inside the doctor's head is like, I felt a bump on my head. Doesn't make sense. Then we get to another thing that doesn't really make sense. They get to the end of this bridge, and then it just goes into darkness. It's just a big void. And the doctor's like, okay, but here's the thing. They're physically in the brain. They're not in a mental representation of the brain. They're physically in there. So the fact that he's like, this side is logic and that side's imagination. This is the mind. This is the brain. We have to cross this divide that we can't see.
Does he actually say we're crossing from the brain into the mind?
Yes. He says we're going from one. He said we're going from one side of my brain to the other.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Does he say we're going from the brain to the mind, or does he say we're going from like the left to the right?
I think he says both. I think he is saying that it's the left side and the right side, and that it's the logic and the imagination. It's the mind and the brain.
Okay, yeah.
Which doesn't honestly make sense. Like, again, they're physically in the brain. It should just be brain shit. There shouldn't be some, like, mystical barrier. Like, if you were in the mind, like, in a metaphysical sense or metaphorical sense, sure. But, like, this is physically in the brain, so I don't buy it. All anyway, right. He goes across into the void and disappears, and like Leela is holding on to his scarf as he goes across.
I thought this was so cute.
And then later we'll see them on the opposite side,
because Leela does not want to cross over. Really, she doesn't.
Yeah, and I think he's like, it's fine. Believe me this time. Oh, but so they kind of cover it up a little bit, because like as he's walking through the void, he's like, sometimes even I don't understand it. Because it doesn't make any sense. So then the eyebrow guys finally have, like, beat everybody, and they've made their way into the hospital room where the doctor is. They've been threatening this whole time, by the way, on a very poorly CSO'd screen, and there's been a countdown and all sorts of stuff. No, the countdown's for how long the clones have. But they get to Marius, and they wiggle Marius.
Brain wiggle, yes.
After he's already had, like, one of his assistants hide in the clone/shrinking machine. The Wayne Szalinski machine. Oh, they should do a Honey, I Cloned Myself. Honey, I Cloned the Kids! Has that been done? There was a TV show. It could have happened. Anyway, sidetracking. I'm going off on my own.
You're speaking so fast.
That should be an IP consultants thing. So, he's hidden someone in the clone machine, but now he's been wiggled. She gets out, and he's kind of like, oh, fuck. You guys, there's clones in this body. We gotta stop them. Because he's a bad guy now. Marius is. Or he's browed up.
Would you say he's highbrow?
No.
I'm just gonna leave. You gonna do it all day long. I'm gonna do it one time?
His name's not high.
He said he was browed up.
Yeah.
Alright. No, it's fine. It's fine.
He's a brow bro.
That's not even...
Oh man, I'm great at this.
Oh, alright.
They're all now browsers. Anyway.
I don't even know why I try.
It's cute that you do.
No.
Okay, I want to say, the woman who escaped, we actually see her escape twice.
What do you mean?
She gets out of the room, she runs out, and then there's a shot where she like peeks in and then runs away again. Like, for no reason.
I don't remember that.
I saw it, like, when I was making the gifs. I was like, why? There's no reason for it. K-9 wakes Leela up and says, like, I rebooted, and I'm sorry for shooting you. And the woman comes up that escaped and is like, fills Leela and K-9 in on what's been going on, that the doctor is now compromised. And then we cut back to the brain, where they've now get across to the imagination side of the brain, and it's real windy there. What is it? Why is there wind in the brain?
Because he's a real airhead.
Fuck you.
This is fun. I get it now.
You love tiny things. We haven't even talked. How do you feel about this?
I've been very clear about this before. I don't just love tiny things. I like scale discrepancy. So if you take them and put them in like a weird, unrecognizable set, how am I supposed to enjoy that they're out of scale? You just put them in some weird blobs and say, they're in the brain.
Well, what about that one shot where they're just shrinking?
I mean, that was almost pretty good.
They slowly, like, duck behind the, like, the little viewing
port. Here's the thing. If you're not, like, making a table out of a thimble, if you're not using, like, a thread bob as, like, a kitchen table, or, like, sleeping in a sardine can or something, I'm not super interested.
You need a visual representation of scale.
I need somebody, like, sleeping on a button or something, like... Or using buttons for wheels in their car.
You
like
just that's... constantly need a penny for scale.
Yeah, if there had been a penny in the doctor's brain for scale, then that shit would have been real cute.
Either that or he just accidentally wound up in the Batcave. How do you feel about the giant penny in the Batcave?
I don't really have any feelings about it.
You don't think it's neat?
Look, I'm here for borrower situations only, okay?
Well, don't you feel the same way about, like, giants?
Yeah.
Dealing with tiny stuff?
Yeah, because that's cute as heck.
Yeah. So it's a borrower's or an Iron Giant situation.
Aw, Iron Giant, yeah.
What if there was a crossover between the borrowers and the Iron Giant?
I don't know how that would work. Yeah, I don't know how that would function at all. These don't seem like compatible stories.
That's just an immense difference in scale. Like, how do you even do that?
If something's out of scale, that's funny too. If something's too big. But it's not as good as, like, someone wearing the top of an acorn as a hat. Like, that's the best.
We're learning a lot about you. So, speaking of shrinking things, the bad guys decide to shrink low.
They're going to send him in two.
Yeah, they're going to send him in two. Low gets real low in height.
I'm not going to give that one to you. After you just so, like, wholly abandoned me the last time I tried. Like, we're done here.
All right. So he gets shot into the doctor. Leela senses him immediately. She's like, there's something amiss. I didn't sense those fuzzballs at all, but I can sense Lo. And lo and behold, he is there. No? Okay, before he shows up, the doctor finds the nucleus, and they have a chat. Like, it's sort of a moral chat of whether or not it's fine that he's going to kill everybody. He's like, it's survival of the fittest. It's totally fine.
I'm a virus, and I deserve the right to, like, I deserve the right to life the way all things do.
This is how I exist. We take over other shit. That's just how it is. Like, that's just nature, man. And the doctor is basically like, all right, but it's, like, perfectly fine for me to defend myself, asshole.
He says, like, yeah. You're right. It's fair. Survival of the fittest. Whoever wins, wins.
And Leela gets in a fight with Lo. They're attacked by fuzzballs, the antibodies. The nucleus gets shot?
I don't know about it getting shot, but it gets big again.
Yeah, how does that happen? I don't remember how that happens.
I say again, it was never big.
How did they get the nucleus out of his head?
The nucleus also says, I mean, in addition to being like, I have a right to be alive, it's like, now I can spread throughout time and space, because now that I'm all up in your brain, I know all about time travel, which is pretty bad.
The doctor's trying to shoot him, but disappears because the time limit's up, and the thing escapes through his tear duct.
And then the clone just fucking dies. It just dies. There's a version of the doctor who was real, alive, had thoughts and feelings, and then he just stops existing.
Okay, I have another couple of, like, weird quirks. When they clone the doctor and Leela, they clone the doctor so that it doesn't have the virus, right? So it's just a clean doctor. Where the fuck do the clothes come from? Leela has another fucking knife. They didn't clone the fuck. They took her blood. How did they make her clothes and her knife? Second, the clones disappear, but her clothes and her tiny, tiny knife are left in the doctor's brain. It zooms in on a shot of that.
There's just a tiny knife sitting inside of the doctor's brain for all time now.
Jodie Whittaker has got Leela's tiny, tiny ass knife in her brain. Forever preserved in her imagination.
It escapes through the tear duct, and then I guess Lo puts it into the shrinking machine.
Well, Lo's dead, isn't he?
Oh, well, someone does it.
I think it's one of
them. Yeah, sorry, not Lo.
It's Marius.
Marius.
Because Marius is infected at this point. The nucleus grows into a giant prawn.
It's just a big ass lobster.
Clap, clap, clap. And that is the end of episode 3, is the nucleus growing. We're now into episode 4, the last episode. Attack of the Jumbo Shrimp. Jumbo. Do you get it? Because it's big. How does this make you feel? Because this, you can actually see in relationship to other things.
Again, it just looks like a monster.
Like a jumbo shrimp.
A monster based off of a shrimp, sure. Uh-huh. But it just looks like a Doctor Who monster.
Okay, but listen. The word shrimp implies tiny. This is a big old shrimp. This is a really big shrimp.
It does nothing for me.
I will also say it like clacks over all of its dialogue. That suit is so fucking loud. It's like, hey! What? And then I'm gonna beat you, Doctor.
That was great. That was a great auditory experience that everyone just had.
You're welcome. The Doctor wakes up. He's healed now, maybe?
Did the Doctor get healed? Well, the virus isn't in him anymore because it's too busy being a giant shrimp.
That's true. But yeah, but like, it's not the shrimp that does it.
I mean, it is. It's the nucleus. Because he specifically...
There's still other people that are possessed.
But he specifically was infected by the nucleus.
Okay.
And the nucleus is no longer in him.
But I think something passed into him that made him invulnerable as well, because they find whatever's
in him.
That's
the thing. So they were like, we don't think it's anything physical, it's just that Leela uses instinct, and that's why she's immune. They literally say it twice in 2 different episodes. And then in this episode, they're like, we found it, and it's this thing. Like,
the Doctor says that he probably absorbed it from Leela's clone. Was it the fucking tiny knife?
It was the tiny knife! Knives are what make you invulnerable to this virus.
Alright, sure. But yeah, they say it's instinct, and then they say, no, it's a thing.
Because they do. They say it's a physical thing. We found it. We missed it before, but we found it, and now we have a cure.
So, this is the one I was saying. Leela dresses up in that green...
Yeah. No, I forgot.
Nurse uniform. To go undercover, and she rescues the Doctor, gets in a gunfight.
She's a busy day.
And they head towards the TARDIS, and the nucleus is like, fuck them, they can do whatever the hell they want. We're going to Titan to breed.
Do you guys remember Titan? Do you guys remember when the serial started on a whole other friggin' planet with that planet's problems before we went inside a friggin' Time Lord body? Do you guys remember that?
I want to say, also, by the end of this episode, I had kind of forgotten that we had gone inside the Doctor's own brain.
There's so much happening. We start on Titan. There's some, like, a pretty linear plot happening there. Then it's like, just kidding, we're going to go to the hospital and we're going to do some freaking references. I don't know what it's called.
The Fantastic Forage.
Okay. Anyway.
Inner space.
We're gonna do one of them. And now we're done with that. We're going to go back to the original thing we were doing. And also, there's a big old shrimp.
Who wants to fuck?
No.
No? No.
Why?
He wants to breed.
I mean, he does. He wants to breed like like a virus.
Right. He wants to do...
asexually.
The viral equivalent... of going to Bone Town.
No!
He wants to fuck.
I can't breathe. Anyway, thanks for listening to Watch Not Rest Alive. It's over.
Can you continue?
Yes. You can't even see because I'm crying.
So, I'm sorry.
What?
The nucleus wants to get it prawn. On Titan is all you can eat, baby. Wink.
All right,
cool. And if I did it long enough, you would be done with it. What the hell happened? happens next. Okay, so they're
going... If you like this episode, check out more on WatchYourAssLearn.com and make sure to rate and comment on
We haven't finished talking about this episode.
If you'd like to help us even more, go to WatchYourAssLearn.com/support. Okay. I'm signing us out. We're done.
Listen, So the doctor asks K-9 to knock out Marius. He does so. Shoots him and he passes out. And that's when the doctor finds the immunity thing. And I think he's going to apply that to Marius. The doctor gives Marius the cure to cure other people as well.
Yes.
The doctor's like, I'm going to take the cure, a bit of the cure, to Titan. Also, can I borrow K-9? And Marius is like, sure.
And again, this is where I'm like,
he's not giving it back.
He's borrowing K-9 like he borrowed the TARDIS. He has a history of this shit.
He's borrowing K-9 like he borrowed Ian and Barbara.
He's gonna steal this man's dog.
So he TARDIS out of there.
This is like the end. We're like wrapping shit up.
Lands on Titan. The fucking nucleus is laid a he's laid a shit ton of eggs.
It's just a little confusing. Yeah. Is he a shrimp or a virus?
Well, maybe. It was a virus that shot out little tiny eggs. They're super microscopic eggs. That was the virus.
And now, but now he's big.
He's got to plop out a big one. Oh, I grossed myself out. They shoot some people. K-9 shooting people. They're working their way through this Titan base now. I think K-9 gets low on energy. Possibly.
He just runs out of battery.
The doctor's trying to make his way to the eggs with the cure. He's caught by Lo, but K-9 shoots. Wait, Lo's back?
Wait. What? What are you saying?
My notes say Lo. How did Lo get back? Wait, did they clone and shrink Lo?
Yeah.
So this is Prime Lo.
This is the original Lo.
Lo Prime. Yeah, they didn't just straight up shrink Lo. They shrunk his clone. Lo's been here this whole time, you guys. But, like, Lo catches the doctor trying to get to the eggs. K-9 shoots Lo, and then he gets shoved into the eggs. Like, the eggs are in, like, we just keep saying the eggs, but they're in, like, this big, like, containment room. K-9 powers down at this point because he's like, I'm just fucking done. So the doctor has to literally drag him with him, which was literally just the
thing is too loud.
Yeah, and the guy who is doing it is like, my thumbs hurt. Okay, yeah, I think this actually gets brought up too. Leela at one point jumps on top of one of these guys, knifes him in the neck. The doctor's like, we have a cure! And she's like, this works too! The knife is a cure. We previously established that.
Leela knows.
But the doctor's lost the cure. He fiddles with the egg tank thing. The thing that has the eggs. And the nucleus is in there as well. Just, I guess, shooting out the eggs.
Ew.
And he does this, like, Rube Goldberg, ties up a gun to the egg tank. He's got, like, oxygen spilling out as well.
He's gonna blow him up.
It's gonna happen, though, like, when the nucleus opens the door, it's gonna trigger the gun, which is gonna shoot the oxygen-filled air, then explode things.
Then they go back to the hospital.
Well, there's also, the doctor, like, runs out, gets in the TARDIS, and TARDIS is away, and, like, Leela pops up from behind this, like, desk and is like, hey! And the TARDIS, like, materializes back in, and then she gets in the TARDIS, and they leave. Like, he almost left her there. Her and K-9.
They pretty much go back to the hospital just so that Marius can be like, take my dog!
Oh, I also want to say, Leela said multiple times, let's blow him up. Let's blow him up.
I don't understand why we can't just blow him up. And the doctor's like, that's because you don't use your brain. Use my big old brain. And
which
I'm going to come
we've up. We've already been in. You saw how big it was.
I'm going to come up with a great plan.
Which was to use the cure. But then they blow it up. And he's like talking to K-9 like, wasn't that a great plan I came up with to blow up the bad guy? And Leela's like, the fuck?
Your plan? I don't think so.
You helped, says the doctor. And then they go to return K-9, and you're like, oh, okay. And then he's just like, I don't remember what he says, but he's like, can you basically take the dog off
my
hands?
What he says is he built K-9 because he has a dog at home that he misses. But he's only, like, stationed here for a little bit.
Uh-huh.
And he's getting ready to head back home.
Okay.
So he's like, we you know, take care of him. Because I'm going to go back to, like, a real life dog.
Just going to fucking abandon this dog.
Rehomes him to a good home.
Really?
He's a metal dog and he can't be... You can't forget to feed him, so.
And Leela really wants him, too.
Leela's so cute. Exciting. She's like, can we keep him?
And the doctor's like, yeah, sure. And then they TARDIS out, and I think he says something about, I hope he's TARDIS trained.
He does.
Marius
says that.
But that's the end of the serial. That's the end of The Invisible Enemy. That's it. We'll be back for final thoughts after these commercial messages.
This is Mandy from CasterQuest, and we're inviting you to join us as we explore Patrick Rothfuss's best-selling fantasy series, The Kingkiller Chronicle. You can find CasterQuest at CasterQuest.com, on SoundCloud, on Apple Podcasts, or at our podcast network at ESOPodcast.com.
Research and Chandrian, Ambrose Jack is dumb alone, Dana's on a date. Master Kilvin, old ass man, a selling lamps to folks in Imre, Will and Simon, Diox, Danchen, Tabalin the Great.
And we're back! Hey, Tony! God.
Yes, what? That was really
good. Do you know what time it is?
Yeah.
It is 2 hours into this podcast. Come on.
It is 10:27, and
we have work in the morning.
Do you know what we do at 10:27?
What?
We do final thoughts.
Thank you.
Final thoughts.
Go.
Oh, shit. Okay, Jesus. This is one of my favorites. It was fucking weird. It's just weird enough to constantly keep my interest. It's weird and it's fun, and I enjoyed it. There wasn't much substance to it beyond just an interesting adventure. For what it is, it's decent enough.
It's so fucking weird. I love it because of how weird it is. Like, we're inside the doctor's... It's not even that we're inside the doctor's brain. It's that it's a miniaturized clone of the doctor and Leela in the doctor's brain.
I'm telling you, I have real terror over that idea. And the fact that they're just like, well, we're gonna make some clones. And then it's just it's a plot device with no real ethical implications. I really hate the idea of there being, like, clones that, like, last for 10 minutes. Or at no point are they like, well, guess I'm gonna die.
Because, okay, here's what I like. I love that idea. I think it's so bizarre. I mean, we also have, like, the viral infected eyebrow guys are real creepy at the beginning. You have this amazing idea of shrinking the doctor and Leela and putting them in his own brain. And then not only that, you have the weird-ass idea of, what if we take the virus out of his brain and make it big?
That is a, like, delightful twist.
And not only that, we also get the introduction to fucking K-9. And he's adorable and a badass. He's, like, shooting shit left and right, doing crotch shots. It's great. I enjoyed a lot of it. I think there are some moments of awkward pacing, and I don't know, there's a lot of, like, dead time and weird cameras, like, setting up characters, and I don't know, I want to say it's maybe slightly poorly directed, maybe, in places.
Maybe slightly poorly directed, maybe?
Yeah, because, I mean, there's just a lot of, like, questionable choices, I feel like. Some shots last too long, some things are just a little awkwardly set up, but it's so fucking weird. And I enjoy so much of it. So I give it 2 thumbs up. I'd say it's the most fun serial this season. We've only had 2. I really liked Horror Fang Rock. Horror Fang Rock is way more solid than this one, but this one's just so fucking bonkers. I love it. It Takes You Away is that same sort of bonkers where you're like...
Here's the thing about It Takes You Away, though, that is, it's better than the serial.
Oh, yeah, it's definitely better than the serial.
It's bonkers for sure. Like, you get to that end and you're like, okay, like, you're doing what you're doing and I respect that. It's bonkers, but at the same time, it's like this, it's out of this really, like, touching emotional moment. Like, it's sweet what's happening between them. And, like, it's specifically, like, the combination of those two things, like, this very sort of sweet sincerity juxtaposed to this goofy ass frog. I fucking love it. That's what makes it from being just like, oh man, That was, like, pretty weird and fun and cool to being like, yes, that's Doctor Who. That's what I want. Oh, man, that episode was so good.
It has a similar vibe, though, which I think it's kind of amazing that It Takes You Away was able to do it in 45 minutes. But of that, like, where you're like, do you remember when we were... When we were on Titan, do you remember when we were in the Doctor's brain? Do you remember? Like, this all happened in the same thing. And, like, I had that same feeling when we watched It Takes You Away of, like, do you remember when it was, like, a weird horror movie with, like, monsters in the woods? Do you remember when we were in that weird anti-matter world thing with, like, the guy with the balloon? Do you remember when we were just in a mirror universe and that was it? Like... It's that same sort of vibe, and I dig that. That, to me, is what Doctor Who is. It's, like, not afraid to just do weird shit. Just cause. Why not? All right, that's it. Before we go, is there anything we need to plug?
I would consider it a personal favor if you were to look up See Unseen World on Facebook or Instagram and give it a follow. It should be premiering at the end of January, fingers crossed. It depends on if I get everything lined up that I need to get lined up. We've talked about it before on the show. It's a show that I have been working on at my work that will be premiering on the Heartland Network. If you're at all interested in things like roadside attractions or cryptids or... just interesting folk art. Keep an eye on See Unseen World. It's See Unseen World on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook. The Facebook and the Instagram are what we probably update the most. If you're at all interested in those things, you should definitely, definitely, definitely check out the show when it premieres. You will not be disappointed, especially if you're, you know, already a fan of me and Joe. A lot of our work has gone into making this thing, so that's my plug.
I second that. And if you liked this episode of the podcast, you can check out more on WatchYourAssLine.com and be sure to rate and comment on our iTunes. It helps us out a lot, does some weird iTunes magic to get people to notice us better.
It does. It helps people find the show easier.
If you'd like to help us out even more, you can go to WatchYourAssLine.com/support. And there you can find a link to our Patreon page, which you can get to just by going to Patreon.com/Watchathon. And there you can donate a monthly amount to get all kinds of rewards like day early episodes, uncut video of the podcast records, bonus episodes, and live streams where we watch the episodes with you guys. It's a lot of fun. Also, on our support page is a link to our Amazon wish list where you can sponsor an episode of the podcast by purchasing the corresponding serial on DVD for us. We'll mention you in the podcast and put your name on our Friends of Rassilon page. Speaking of, special thanks again to Matt Golden for sponsoring this episode.
Hey, thanks, Matt.
You can follow him on Tumblr at mgoldentumbles.tumblr.com. And I want to give a shout out to the rest of our friends at Rassilon because we haven't done that in a while. Zoe Allen Wickler, indigoiseau.tumblr.com. Brie Castellini, brainswebseries.com. She also is doing Sam and Pat Are Depressed, so check that out too.
Yeah, keep an eye out for that because season 2 is going to drop.
Which stars Brie Castellini and Chris Cherry. Steve, I want to say thanks to Steve Conway, twitter.com/Steve Conway. Thanks to Elliot Cooper. Hey, bud. You can follow him on Tumblr at docwithtardisfez.tumblr.com. Ben Cowdell, he has a show called Doctor Who 50 Years Ago, which you can find on YouTube. There's a link to it on our Friends of Rassilon page. Leanna Feliciano, still don't know how to pronounce your name. I hope that's right. Special thanks to Ray Friesen. He's a guest. He's also a friend of I've been a guest on the podcast. He's also a friend of Rassilon. RayFriesen.com. Felicity Cousinitz of the Flopcast. Lily, or as we know her, Bisexual Brigadier.
I actually did not realize her name was Lily. I've strictly referred to her in my head as Bisexual Brigadier.
Same. BisexualBrigadier.tumblr.com. Ian McLean. Melissa from Malice Rewatches Doctor Who.
Melissa's one of our, like, oldest...
Patreon patrons, yeah.
And just somebody who's followed the podcast for, like, a really long time.
She's been on the podcast a couple times, too.
Yeah. Thanks, Melissa. What's up?
Yeah, she actually watched an episode with us not too long ago. Horror
Oh, yeah.
Jason Perry, thank you. Rachel S., And last but not least, because this is alphabetical, Carrie Varner, which you can check out her Patreon. She has one as well, patreon.com/Carrie Varner.
Oh, you should. I really, really like her art. She came out with a coloring book recently, and it's all haunted dolls.
Yeah,
and
we backed really her Kickstarter. Cool. So good.
Yeah. You should definitely check her out and consider supporting her on Patreon, if that's a thing you're about.
And one last thanks to Vincent E.L. for providing us with our theme song.
Thanks, Vince!
You can check out more of their stuff on swinglish.nu. They also have started a new podcast themselves with a guy named Ian. I don't know Ian's last name. I think he's Insane Ian.
Is that his legal name?
That's his legal name. They've started a podcast called The IP Consultants. They offer unsolicited advice on how to improve your favorite nerdy intellectual properties. And you can follow them on Twitter at IP Consult Pod, and their website is ipconsultants.podbean.com. It's a great podcast. I listen to it. It's, if you like Vince's episodes, you'll like the IP Consultants. But that's it for this episode. Tune in next time when we are actually going to release one of our bonus episodes from our Patreon, because we're taking a bit of a break for the holidays, because Christmas is coming up. We will be putting out an episode on Christmas is our second bonus episode. It is the Klepton Parasites. It is a First Doctor-ish comic. We've already recorded it. It's already up on our Patreon if you want to check it out now, but we're going to release it to you guys for free as a way of, because to fill in while we're taking a break, and also to let you guys check it out, see if that's something you guys want to donate for. So it also is available on the ESO Patreon as well. But that's what's going to be coming out in the next couple of weeks. And then after that, we'll be back to the Fourth Doctor with Image of the Findal with a new guest, Nicole Mazza.
Yay!
Of Terminus, a Doctor Who podcast.
Very excited. I need to get out to Atlanta so that I can skate in the Atlanta Roller Girls practice. They have Lex goes out there all the time to skate, and Nicole's on that team.
Derby buddies.
Yeah. Last year, when we had the Christmas meeting, Nicole was talking about Derby, and I was like, I really want to, but I probably never will. So this year, I've been skating for a while, so fun.
We'll be back for that. Thanks for listening. Keep calm and wrestle on.
Goodbye, and I love you. Lord.
Affirmative, Master.
This has been a broadcast of the ESO Network. Be part of the crew and help support our shows by donating to our ESO Patreon or by shopping through Amazon.com or the TeePublic store, which can all be found at www.esonetwork.com. The ESO Network, your station for all things geek. Thank you.